This is why you talk about, you know, you hear people talk about elevated consciousness. That's truly how you experience the world. Because if you're super healthy and your DNA is not damaged and oxidized and the mitochondria is flourishing and not damaged, then this job of signaling in and out just happens. And you get this sense of like, everything I want falls in my lap.
Today, my guest is Kashif Khan, founder of the DNA company, pioneer into the human genome and longevity expert. Coming up, the truth about evolution. Food is killing us. Women's hormones. Using your genetics to get younger, your DNA and the best diet for you. Kashif, first of all, thank you for being a guest on my show today, and I'm honored to have you all the way from Toronto.
It's my honor. What are you talking about? It's a pleasure and honor to be. And it seems like, you know, we're far apart, but you get online today and it's like we're sitting right next to each other. So,
well, I do miss those days, actually. I used to do a lot of these live, and then ever since COVID days, we took them back and Zoom happened. And then now everyone wants to do things on Zoom. But yes, I do like the face-to-face. But look, this is fantastic. We're crossing airwaves, and I've got so many different topics that I almost don't know where to start. But I think let's start at the beginning. Can you give me a bit of background on your journey to becoming the CEO of the DNA company?
Sure. So it didn't exist prior to that. You know, it was created out of need. And the need was really this aha moment of my first time going through this medical system. And I don't think the Canadian system where I am is much different than the UK. You have a single big government payer that deals with all the bills. And so you have this sort of symptom masking, reactive, disease centric model, where we have this amazing ability to deal with acute problems, break your arm, God forbid, stage 4 cancer, you go to the hospital, you get help. That same thinking and toolkit is applied to chronic disease, which should not be treated the same way. And I didn't know any of that until I had 5 chronic diseases.
Okay.
All at the same time, right? And so at the age of 38, which was a few years back, all of a sudden eczema, psoriasis, gut issues, depression, migraines, which was probably the worst part, kept having to come home from work and just vomiting, sleeping, couldn't function, vomiting from the pain. That's how intense it was, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I truly thought that these were 5 problems that I had until I started asking the question, why? What did I do? It doesn't make sense that all of a sudden I've been healthy all my life. There's 5 things all at the same time. What did I do? And I couldn't get that answer. So I started digging. And just like any other sort of functional medicine root cause type story that you hear, it's rooted in somebody healing themselves and then wanting to scream from the rooftops, everybody needs to know this. And that's what happened. Fast forward a few months, I started learning, fixing, and I discovered that in my genome, it's not only that I had variations or versions of genes, there was key genes just missing. They weren't even there. And a gene is an instruction that tells your cells what to do, how to do all the jobs they do. And I was missing some instructions. And so the same food, the same environmental exposure, the same pollution that my staff and my business partner didn't have a problem with were making me very sick. I was designed for a different reality. And all of a sudden I learned this and started researching and building. And here we are. Now we're helping thousands of people all over the world.
And what was it that was making you sick?
So a big
Giving you the sort of symptoms or sort of jack-starting the reactions that you were having.
So keep in mind that chronic diseases don't happen overnight. So if you are diagnosed with diabetes or Alzheimer's or even breast cancer, that thing started 20 years ago, right? The choices that you make that are misaligned to your genome, it takes that long. Your body's resilient and you 50, right? So now, for me, there's a gene called GSTM1, which is a primary detoxifier of the gut. So your stomach has this gene that allows you to find the toxins that come along with your food, bind them and prevent them from entering your bloodstream, get rid of them, detoxify. I don't have that gene. It's missing. It's called a copy number variation. It's a unique phenomenon where certain people just don't get certain genes inherited from their ancestors. And I don't have it. So the same food that I was eating with my business partners in these business lunches that I thought were healthy, you know, for example, hummus. I thought, okay, I'm eating hummus. It's good, healthy stuff. But the chemicals that are used to dry the chickpeas, to process them so that they can be shipped faster, are potent toxins. And I didn't have a detox system. So this was causing crazy inflammation.
And presumably, by you going to the traditional hospital in Canada or the GP that we would have here, they wouldn't be able to identify that. So, how did you really identify that it was actually coming from your genes?
So what they did is they said, here's what your problem is called, and here's the pill you have to take, right? Meaning that you have it, and you're probably going to take this pill the rest of your life. This is how we manage your condition so you're not in pain. Removal of the pain is a check mark of success. They don't ask why. That was very disturbing to me because I had never been sick prior to this. It didn't add up. And so I started to dig first into the conditions themselves. What causes migraines, environmental exposure, stress, dehydration, what causes eczema? The same types of things. When I started to see over and over and over, it's the same triggers. I realized the root cause of all of it was inflammation, right? It's either inflammation or autoimmunity. Psoriasis is an autoimmune response. Eczema, migraines, all of that is an inflammation. Even the depression is an inflammatory response. Neural inflammation of the brain. And I then learned that of the 15 top killers in the Western world, 14 are all rooted in inflammation. So this one thing drives the majority of why we die. And guess what? The number 15, which is actually the number three cause of death in the US, is medical error. It's just doctors making mistakes, which is also rooted in
That is
inflammation.
absolutely, I want to say it's shocking, but I can believe it. But is this a modern day phenomenon? I mean, what's actually happened to our immune system? Surely our bodies can, well, I'll ask you the question, can our bodies heal ourselves? And
We
what's that
have immune systems, we
generated?
have detox systems, we have antioxidative systems, we have methylation systems. We have all these systems designed to help us thrive. What's changed is our exposure. There's been 144,000 new chemicals introduced to humanity since the 1970s,
Wow.
right? You cannot go outside without breathing pesticides. You bring your dry cleaning home, your mattress is covered in fire retardants that are chemicals. You're, buying things that are made in other countries that off-gas chemicals when you open the packaging. Your food is processed on heavy metal machines that are cleaned with chemicals. Something as simple as a natural flavor. What does that mean? A natural flavor means it's either from a plant or an animal. Good stuff, right? It takes 50 to 75 chemicals to get that natural flavor into your food. And none of those are listed as ingredients because they're not ingredients, they're processing chemicals.
So, I mean, what can we do about this? Because we can't wrap ourselves in cotton wool, though sometimes we would want to. Don't we have to expose ourselves to a little bit to the outside as well
So
to get
here's
our
your
immune system up?
You're not going to live in a bubble, right? So what you have to realize is that the DNA that you have that instructs every cellular process in your body, so everything that your body does is reading the DNA instructions to know how to do it. Our DNA is 250,000 years old. It hasn't changed in a quarter million years. So, we're the same. We are wired like cave people from 250,000 years ago. We are not grandma and grandpa's genes.
Just to take you off on that little tangent, because I did hear you talk on another podcast actually talking about evolution and the fact that our genes haven't changed for 250,000 years. And I listened to an amazing guy, Dr. Greg Braden, a few months ago. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dr. Greg
He's
Braden.
awesome.
He talked about chromosome 2. And when he talked about it and on stage, and I was listening to him live, I felt myself crying because I absolutely knew he was talking the truth. And the only thing I can tell you is my body completely resonated with what he said. Could you explain for my audience your theory that sort of goes against traditional, old fa I want to say old-fashioned, or what we consider science today?
So this, firstly, just so you know, that this fact is not disputed by a traditional science. What's not happening is that it's not being interpreted in when we talk about evolution, et cetera, right? So what we do know is that evolution takes millions of years, right? And we have seen evidence of evolution in plants and animals where they change to better cope with their environment. We have never seen evidence of it in humans. We have no proof of it. The genes that we have, how does it work? Your mom and dad have two genes, right? And each has a couple letters. And maybe mom has AG and dad has GG. So now there's an A in there. So you might get an A and a G or two G's, or so it's this constant, you know, kind of what cards got drawn, but it's the same letter. So it's just a combination that keeps getting passed down. There's no evolution. It's just which card gets drawn, right? So what happened was around that time, as you said, there's a specific chromosome that looks like it received an edit, meaning that the chromosome was pinched and compressed and its function changed. And then all of a sudden we developed complex speech. We developed the ability to have complex emotions, to sing. Our brain started to fold and become, there was more surface area, so we could have more intelligent thought. We became who we are. And we don't know what we were before that, where that came from, but there was this sort of point of creation that we see in our genome that science does not dispute, but also doesn't explain.
So this isn't us going from ape man to Neanderthal man to the humans we are today?
We don't know the answer. What we know is that we were something else, or we didn't exist because there was a straight out edit. And the way we evolved was overnight. It wasn't over a period of millions of years. And it's clear if you look at the chromosome and the way and Greg Ridden does a beautiful job. We could spend an hour just talking about this.
Right? I mean, I'm like, where did we come from then? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. To my mind, this just talks to
it would appear
from this planet.
Yeah, it would appear that for example, most of us have Neanderthal DNA in us. If you get your ancestry scan, almost everybody will see Neanderthal DNA. Now, whether that means we came from there, or we were walking around mating with a bunch of Neanderthals and cross-pollinated, something happened, right? But this edit is clear. The way we evolved, it's not a slow, drawn-out process. It was an overnight edit and change. We don't even have that technology today. So we don't even know how to do that today. It just kind of happened. But what happened before that, we don't know the answer. And so the whole point of that is, if you're wired for habits from 250,000 years ago to today, and the reality that we live in today really only started post-World War II, right? This current modern reality of industrialization, chemicals, garbage processed food, the way we go, and we don't have our ancestral habits or even lifestyle anymore, and our relationships, our families. We are not wired for today, which is why the United States has a $4 trillion healthcare budget, right? Which is why there's so much chronic disease and medication needed. So going back to the first question you asked, which I still didn't answer, is that yes, this is no longer about, oh yeah, I take supplements or I exercise or it's a choice. You have to analyze your DNA and find out which part is broken, which gene is not doing its job, because the threat is so much greater today, so much worse than it's ever been. And it's especially true for women, because for women, not only is this about the genes are causing me, the inputs are causing me inflammation, but it's also causing hormone disruption.
Okay, let's talk about that, because you know, as a woman, I've just reached I've just reached 50, but I'm actually 52. It just suddenly goes like that really, really quickly. And having spent the last 10 years really sort of focusing in on my health, fitness, giving up my corporate job and exploring personal growth and mindset, et cetera. I've realized my habits in my 20s and 30s weren't helping where I am right now. Now I've gone through menopause. I'm on HRT. I'm a bodybuilder. I lead a relatively healthy diet, or have a very relatively healthy diet. Again, this is just what I assume. And by the way, I'm definitely doing your DNA test, but we'll come and talk about that afterwards. But what can I be doing? I mean, I want to optimize everything. I'm very much into optimizing my health, my wealth, my mind. What else, as a woman my age, I guess, can I be doing as well?
So I would say that, so in our research, what did we do? We spent 3 years with 7,000 patients, one by one by one, to figure out why can your doctor not figure out what's going on and get rid of it. And we got rid of it 7,000 times, whatever it was, from acne to hair loss to crazy menopause to fibromyalgia. And what we learned is the part of healthcare that is the most broken is everything around female hormone health. There's this gray area of, hey, it's your hormones. You're supposed to feel horrible, right? That's kind of the answer. And yeah, puberty, fertility, menopause is all supposed to suck and be bad.
And yeah, I was on the birth control pill for 30 years. And I literally came off that and went on to HRT. And I'm only now reading how bad the birth control pill was. You know, obviously it was our savior in the, you know, before I was born in the 60s, it transformed, I guess, women and what we do today. But I obviously there have been massive side effects. Can you
So
talk
let's
about
use
that?
that as an example. Let's use that as an example, right? So that's a perfect example of here's my genes, which point to which job my body doesn't do well. Now I know what to prioritize. I don't need to just you start your health and wellness journey. Where do you start? There's all these amazing podcasts, YouTube videos, books. Like, what do you do first? Right? What is the priority? So the genes will tell you the priority. Here's the job that your body doesn't do well, or maybe does a little too well, which then equals something, right? Here's then the habits, the nutrition, which includes birth control pill. What are you taking in? The environment, the lifestyle. How do I exercise? How do I sleep? All of those loads on the bad genetic job then equal your problem. So some women, you've probably heard of the BRCA gene, right? So women are scared of BRCA. It's like this breast
Breast
cancer gene,
cancer.
right? Yeah. And so that's a perfect example to talk about your birth control pill. And I'm not, this is not the same truth for everybody. This is true for a certain genetic avatar or profile. So the BRCA gene, we're told that if you have a certain version, go cut out your breasts and go cut out your fallopian tubes so to prevent cancer.
Is this what Angelina Jolie ha is that why
Yes,
she liked?
exactly. Go cut a piece of yourself off to prevent cancer, right? And why? Because you have this gene means elevated risk of cancer. If you ask a doctor that tells you that, what does the BRCA gene do? I can assure you they probably don't know, or they wouldn't say that. The BRCA gene is a tumor suppressor. So what it's supposed to do is if you have a tumor, it fixes it, it gets rid of it. If you have damaged DNA, it repairs it. If you have damaged inflamed cells, it repairs it. So if you have the bad version of BRCA, you don't do a good job of repair. But we still don't know what caused the cancer. BRCA didn't cause it, right? You just don't do good. So you're less likely to survive. It has nothing to do with cause. So now, if that's the case, park that for a second. What causes it? Well, here's one example, but there's many. Some women make more estrogen. They're more estrogen dominant. In the hormone cascade, you go from progesterone to testosterone to estrogen, and there's genes that do each one of those steps, and we can measure very efficiently how well you do each one of those jobs. So how much do you make? Some women just fill this pot of estrogen really a little bit too much every month. That's
How
step one of.
would you know, sorry to interrupt, how would you know if you're
Sure.
filling that pot too much
So
of
there's a
estrogen?
CYP, there's a gene called CYP19A1 that takes your testosterone and converts it into estrogen. And some women have a super fast version of that gene. So they're doing that job a little too efficiently, right?
Does that
So
have
now all of a sudden.
side effects, weight gain, or
Yeah. So if you're more estrogenized, you're going to have more of a voluptuous figure. You're going to have nice hair and skin, but you're going to have things like fibromyalgia, endometriosis, horrible mood swings, anxiety, bad menstrual cycle. Too much estrogen equals some good stuff and it equals some bad stuff, right? So now that's step one of three. Step two is when you have your monthly cycle, if you're menopausal, still doing this, you're just not having the cycle, you first convert that estrogen into a metabolite. Your body converts it into either 2, 4, or 16 hydroxyestrogen. 2 is good, clean stuff you want, 4 and 16 are toxic. So now, if you're doing that, you're going into 4 and 16, these cause inflammation. So that's step two of three. Now we go look at the detoxification pathways that get rid of that toxin if you're making it. And you may be missing some genes like I am, or may have the bad version of the genes. You just don't do that job so well. So now we have this profile. A woman that makes too much estrogen, she makes a toxic version, she doesn't detoxify it well. That still wasn't a problem in our ancestral life. Today, now, a woman will take birth control pills for 30 years and she'll add even more estrogen, right? Or she'll have a beautiful garden and breathe in gardening pesticides for 10 years. Or she doesn't understand that her Teflon-coated frying pan and the chemicals she's using to clean her kitchen are all hormone mimics and disruptors, right? Yeah.
Teflon frying pan. Oh
Yeah. Teflon is a horrible a mimicker of estrogens. It's full of forever chemicals. If you have a tiny scratch in your Teflon pan, it's emitting 9,000 forever chemicals into your food.
I mean, I thought plastics. I've heard obviously the plastic. There's a lot of estrogens in
Yes.
plastics.
Yeah. So at Teflon, the same, right? So now you have this woman who has this profile. She has some habits current modern habits, which our ancestors didn't have, that are overloading that estrogen bucket, making way too much estrogen toxicity, making way too much that the body can't detoxify. Now, fast forward to menopause, you no longer have a menstrual cycle. So you no longer have the ability to get rid of this monthly load, and it's in your body, right? And so the body is somewhat intelligent and it will say, well, I know this stuff causes inflammation, it's damaging, so I'm going to protect myself and I'm going to go store it in fat and keep it away from the organs and the veins. And where do women have fat,
Well,
right?
I mean, and funny enough, it changes. And when you hit menopause, it tends to go around the belly. I mean,
Yes.
I worked out for years, so I don't have. In fact, I changed since I went on to testosterone, but that's a whole new thing. And my body composition completely changed because I was very low in testosterone when I got measured, and my estrogen was very low when I came off. And I've just been measured again. My estrogen's low, and my testosterone's gone up. But
Right.
I'm feeling like a different woman because the testosterone's doing magnificent things for me.
Exactly. It makes you feel incredible, right?
I
And when
feel
you're
like a new woman. I feel like I'm in my 20s again.
Yep, exactly. So now you have this profile, you have the habits, and you have too much estrogen toxicity, and it gets deposited in your breast tissue because you have a lot of fat there. And you have these glands and ducts that were designed for delivering milk that the cellular structure were not designed to deal with toxins. Your lungs are because they're like a filter. Your gut is a filter. Your liver is a filter. But this inside here was not designed for that. So all of a sudden, inflammation, 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 cellular degradation, cancer settles in. And at that point, BRCA is supposed to get to work, right? So after all of what we talked about, but because we have a disease-centric model that's like, once you have cancer, we're going to start researching and figuring out how to get rid of it. And BRCA doesn't help you get rid of it. So I could test a child and tell them the same story and analyze their DNA and tell them exactly what habits to have so that for the rest of their life, this young girl will not have these problems and in fact feel amazing like you do today.
So I'm a great believer in being the CEO of your own health, and not being a slave to your genes. Because I know
Right.
we've all got different genetics, but I believe that I mean, I look at my mum, my dad, and I love them both. But my mum's obese, very different to me. And my father doesn't look after his health. They're probably watching, going, "Can't believe you're saying this," but I've gone away. I think I've tried to do as much as I can to sort of beat my genetics. So I'm not particularly muscly, but I'm a bodybuilder. I used to be a runner. I'm more built to run. Very small, petite frame. I can go long periods without eating, and I'm fast on my feet. And I just became very skinny fat. I don't know if you've heard that expression. So to change things, I now don't touch cardio and I lift weights.
And we tell many people that their genes are prescribing that that's what they should be doing. Some people it's the opposite, but for many, many people we're saying get off the treadmill, you're making yourself sick.
So what can women do? We know, knowing all this,
Yeah.
how, once you identify, okay, this is the issue, what is the solution? Or how do
So
you provide the solution to the issues?
it depends on the problem and the solution, the same things that cause the problem, environment, nutrition, lifestyle. The solutions also reside here, environment, nutrition, lifestyle. So if a woman is more estrogen dominant and is more estrogen toxic, we might tell her to take a certain supplement that is what we call an aromatase inhibitor. It actually slows down the CYP19A1 gene, so she makes a little less estrogen. And it's not only going to help with the breast cancer prevention, it will help with everything else she's feeling, her anxiety issues, her weight issues, can't see my six-pack abs. Well, maybe now you can, right? So it's going to help with a lot of stuff because all of these symptoms are usually rooted in the same central hub of genetic failure. And then there's help with detox. So we then look at the glutathione pathway to see how efficiently do you detoxify. Maybe we need to give you some supplements or even IV drips on how to support the clearance of these toxins, right? Then, of course, is your environment. Here's the things as simple as don't use a Teflon-coated frying pan, right? Or more complex, like, let's look into your birth control and your hormone replacement. Even for you, for example, you're on hormone replacement.
I
We
went
would
on a
look
year
at that.
ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So we would look at that with your genetics in hand and tell you exactly where to intervene, what hormones to take. So, for example, a lot of doctors will prescribe estradiol. It's a very potent version of estrogen.
Yeah,
Estradiol,
I am on estradiol.
right?
The spray,
So,
transdermal.
So estradiol gets metabolized by your genes into the 4-hydroxy pathway, which is the toxic version of estrogen. So the reason why women get into menopause is you're technically on the chronological scale, you've got past that sort of fertility stage. Most women aren't looking to get pregnant at that age, right? And ancestrally, you don't need that function anymore. So it's a protective measure where these toxic inflammatory hormones no longer are being produced at that volume and you get into menopause, right? So it's meant to protect you. That's why this happens. And so if you now reintroduce the hormones that you no longer have the mitochondria to fight because your mitochondria depletes over time, your cells aren't as resilient anymore. And maybe over time, the toxic accumulation of everything else that you've been dealing with also is a bigger problem. And you don't intervene at the right place. You may be introducing the exact thing that your body was trying to protect you from. And I don't have your genetics. We don't know the answer. But if you are a fast metabolizer in the 4-hydroxy pathway and you're adding estradiol, you're fueling that when your body's trying to protect you from it. But maybe not. Maybe you don't do that. And then there's no problem, right? So in every choice you make, you're either making a choice towards health or you're walking away from it. So we can just personalize that choice and know exactly what to do.
More that I mean that is so in I mean this I am definitely doing the test because here in the UK, and I don't know if it's the same in Canada, it even now it's becoming much more mainstream for a doctor to recommend HRT, but there was all this bad press about HRT from years ago, and doctors just weren't prescribing it, and just basically prescribing SRIs or other things that to try and help the sim relieve the symptoms, which were purely nonsense. It was menopause that women are going through. So I did a lot of research before I went to the doctor because to be honest, I don't like taking pharmaceutical drugs. Very rarely take anything unless I know what's in it. But I'd researched this and thought, no, these are my symptoms. Let me try this. But then if I go and do the DNA test and it shows that actually I will actually show, well, maybe estradiol isn't the right thing for me, would it show me an alternative or?
It will show. So then, yeah. So what's the alternative? It might say maybe you should be taking estriol instead because it doesn't go down the 4-hydroxy pathway. It's not as potent, but it's safe, right? Or it may say, okay, yeah, you should take the estradiol because you're not that estrogen dominant. You're kind of somewhat in the middle, and just add some detox support to help you get rid of the estrogen toxins, right? So it's not the same answer. That if it's the same answer for everybody, half of those people are getting the wrong answer. That's the challenge. When it comes to your body, you need to know what you need to know. What's my answer? And this is where personalizing things gets you that answer. It shouldn't be one size fits all. That's why it fails for so many people. It should be, what do I need?
And you can apply that to anything. I mean, look, I've spent my life yo-yo dieting from one diet to another. You name it, I've done the diet from we used to have cereal, one bowl of cereal a day, to South Beach, to keto. I've tried them all. And it wasn't until I did the bodybuilding and realized that actually it's all about whole foods and getting the right food in you. But even then, I did some tests early on about a few, probably about 10 years ago now, that showed that I was lactose, had some lactose intolerance and a bit of gluten intolerance. But I was actually, funnily enough, fine with carbs. So even though I didn't eat a lot of carbs, because I think as a woman, you're programmed, don't eat too much carbs, don't eat too many carbs. But I haven't got issues with that. So, and I see women that I'm saying women, but men as well, that are fixated on these diets, vegan is all the rage at the moment. And I've spoken to so many different plant doctors, plant coaches, vegan coaches. I understand where they're coming from in terms of animals. And for me, it would be I wouldn't want to treat animals in a cruel way, but if they're brought up in the way they're meant to be brought up, and they're fed correctly, not on, and I understand in the States they're fed antibiotics and all sorts of
Yeah, it's horrible.
rubbish, awful things. So I try and choose my meat and my fish that have been organically produced. But what is the right diet? I mean, is there a right diet? Again, can the
Yeah,
DNA?
this is an area where there's so much trial and error and there's so much noise and everyone kind of gets stuck. They have some improvement and then they get stuck and then they give up and they feel disappointed and they lose their motivation. So what we can do is on day one, analyze sort of macro metabolism. So fats, carbs, plants, etc. So you start to plate your food properly. I can't tell you how many people, when we try and solve their healthcare mystery, why do they feel so horrible? It goes back to the day they became to become vegan, right? And I'm not saying the vegan diet is bad for everybody, but it is bad for most people. Why? There's a gene called FUT2, FUT2, which helps you make the enzymes to actually break down the main protein sources: beans, lentils, legumes, chickpeas.
So
And most people.
I can't eat them. And they discovered that 10 years ago when I did this testing, they said legumes are not going to be great for you. And I used to eat chickpeas and all these things thinking it was healthy and have terrible bloating, terrible gas. And I don't touch it now and feel so much
So all the
better.
bloating, and if you continue down that path, it would have led to leaky gut dysbiosis, Crohn's, colitis, all these gut issues, and then you would have just been treating those diseases instead of asking why did they happen, right? So for some people, yes, if you have the good version of the FUT2 gene, and there's a couple other things we look at, we might say that you might do well as a vegan, but for most people, no, it just doesn't work. Then there's some people that, when it comes to fat metabolism, there's a gene called APO2, which determines how efficiently you use saturated fats as fuel. And so if you decide to go on a keto diet or a carnivore diet, for example, it doesn't matter what your genes are, everyone is going to feel incredible in the first couple of weeks, because you get into ketosis, your brain starts burning fat as, or your brain starts using ketones, I should say, and you feel sharp. You burn fat as fuel and you feel really good, right? 5, 6 weeks into it, you start to get a little bit of brain fog, you're sluggish, things aren't the same. You're not going to blame the diet because you felt so good on day one, right? You're going to blame something else, and you're trying to mask that symptom of the headache and the brain fog and the joint pain and all these things that come after 5, 6 weeks of doing the wrong thing. Or you could just learn on day one that I have the worst version of the APO2 gene, so I can only use carnivore and keto as a therapeutic tool. 2, 3 weeks on and then a couple months off. 2, 3 weeks on and a couple months off, right? Because it does support autoimmunity and other things. It's a powerful tool. Some people can use it longitudinally. And then you brought up carbs and starches. AMY1 converts your this process of hydrolysis, taking complex carbs, turning them to glucose and sugars that the fuel your body actually uses. We know how efficiently you do that on day one. You don't need to guess. And there's some people that don't have a problem with carbs. And when they don't eat them, they actually don't feel as good. And there's some people that truly have a problem with starches and should not eat them because it's going to equal diabetes very soon. The insulin response also is in the middle of all of what we just talked about. And there's a gene called TCF7L2 that determines how efficiently your body uses insulin. And if you are more insulin resistant, which means you're going to get sick, you know, so. It's easy to map out and then start to look at your plate the right way. And then on day one, you're just doing things right as opposed to guessing.
And all this again is analyzed in the test. Let's just talk about the test actually. Walk me
Sure.
through what's involved in the test and what happens afterwards.
So part of my mission, right, was when I was sick, I found that genetics really gave me an answer and really got me to the point where it's been 5 years. I don't have any chronic conditions. In fact, I've measured my biological age, my internal biological age. When I started this mission, I was 38, and inside I was 43, right? So I was 5 years older. I was sick. I now actually am 43, and my biological age is 33.
I just tested mine and I'm only 2 years younger. And I'm really disappointed with that because of everything I do. I want to be 10, so I'm going to come back and ask you how I can get 10 years younger.
We're gonna figure that out. This is exactly the point. We're gonna use your genetics to figure out exactly what's that one dial you need to turn that you didn't figure out yet, right? So for me, I've already done the damage of creating some white hair, and you know, because the first 38 years I didn't pay attention, but now I've been able to pull the clock back a little bit. So on the inside, right? So now, to answer your question, I tried to make this tool in the way I wished it was when I started my journey, which is super easy to use. Genetic tools are too complex. Unless you have a PhD, you don't even know it. And most PhDs also don't know how to use them. So you spit in a tube. A tube gets shipped to you, test tube. You spit in it, you provide 5 milliliters of saliva. That gets shipped to a lab. Pretty straightforward and simple.
And can that be anywhere in the world? I mean, I'm in the UK. Presumably your labs are in Canada or the
Yeah,
US.
our labs are in the US and Canada. And we've recently started shipping a lot to the UK. There's a couple of people working with locally who have just, and plus, you know, where we met, we were at this conference, right? So we met a lot of people there. But yes, we have a lot of customers in the UK. So you it gets shipped, you ship it back. Our lab then extracts the DNA from your saliva and sequence it, which really just means reading it to understand which genes aren't working. Now, instead of reporting back to you, here's your genetic report, which is what geneticists think they're supposed to do, we instead speak to the problems because me as a layman, I don't really care what version of what gene I have. I care what's wrong and how do I fix it. That's it. And it should be that simple. And if it's not, I'm probably not going to use it.
Yeah, because if
So,
it's just a scientific report, you're like, what does that mean anyway? Where do I start with this?
and you get so disappointed, and that's how so many of these things are designed. So I designed it in the way that I wished it was when I started. And so we speak to some major systems, which I believe if you go through these seven, you've dealt with the majority of what causes all of our problems. The first is mood and behavior, everything about the brain. If I have your DNA, I know your personality to a T. I don't ever need to meet you or talk to you. Yeah. Because every neurochemical of your body, this is the way it is. I know it's shocking to hear, but who you are.
Your mood is determined by your DNA or
Yes, because your
your
mood is determined
personality.
by neurochemicals, and those neurochemicals are driven by genetic instructions. So how do you experience pleasure? To what degree are you more of an addict? Are you more of a binger? Are you more prone to PTSD and trauma? Are you more of a drama queen that gives too much meaning to things, crying over spilt milk, right? All of these things are driven by the neurochemicals that allow you to experience these things. And we know how much of the chemical you make, how much of you bind, how quickly do you clear it? So how long did that experience last? And I can map out exactly who you are up here. Should you be an accountant? Should you be an entrepreneur? It's all in your DNA.
So, and that's not you doing some sort of psychometric testing, or
Nope.
you've got to fill in this. This is just by my saliva.
Yeah, just by your saliva, we use your DNA to understand exactly. I'll give you an example. Let's take brain-derived neurotrophic factor. So brain-derived neurotrophic factor drives neuroplasticity, but it also drives mood in the context of how much things mean, the weight of things, the burden, that crying over spilled milk response. Whether it's good or bad news, it just means too much. So the Finnish population, people from Finland, have the most consistency of the worst possible BDNF in for a single ethnicity, right? So they're very.
Because they've got high suicide rates as well, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah. So Finland has this horrible BDNF, right? They're also voted the happiest country in the world. So there's this gap, like that doesn't add up. What's going on, right?
It's not
So they have
the vodka, is it?
it. It's not the vodka. So what's going on is sauna. The use of a sauna is a potent upregulator. Remember, we said we know what to recommend to manage your genes properly, right? So sauna is a potent upregulator of BDNF. So now in Finland, they use more saunas per capita than any country in the world. Why? Because when they don't feel good. And so it's become this habit that in every house there's a sauna, in every community center, and they're just doing it every day. So they have this gene that causes them to feel horrible and be moody and grumpy and give too much meaning to things. But they all do this thing that upregulates it and makes them feel good. Now, when they don't do that thing, they feel horrible. And then you have the suicide rates and you have the addiction, you have these other problems that come out of that. So, taking that one little tidbit, and there's many neurochemicals we can talk about, we know exactly who you are and how you feel and how you react and what you need to do to not feel that way if you don't want to.
And also to what you said before, you can determine what someone should do. Let's face it, we can all should do whatever you want to do, but in terms of what's best for you, or what I guess what you're genetically programmed to do, although I do think there's a lot you want a bit of choice in that as well.
Exactly. So now this person
But
has
I
the
know
bad.
for sorry, I was just going to say, I know for example, I was in corporate life for close to 20 years, and I was miserable. I was very successful, driven, ambitious, climbed to the top of the ladder in a very much in a man's world, and woke up one day and went, "What is this all about?" I was totally unfulfilled. Had
Right.
money, but just wanted more from life, and knew that I could never work for anybody again.
Yeah.
And I don't, and can't now, and
Yeah.
and realize that freedom means so much to me.
Yeah. So even that wiring, the ability to make that decision is genetically driven. Some people can't make that decision, right? So it becomes very clear who you are. It becomes very clear that, and by the way, There's no such thing as good or bad when it comes to all of what we're talking about in mood and behavior. It's context. So the same person that we're saying the drama queen that needs a sauna, well, guess what? If in their work, it might translate to deep thinking, a lot of meaning. Like to picture the scientist or the researcher that comes out with pages and pages and pages of information. The same thing that requires a sauna to make them feel like a good mood also drives their high quality work. So it's a context question. What am I doing with this tool I've been given? Right. So that's, anyways, we went on a tangent, but that's one of the seven things. We look at the brain and we understand how you think and why you feel anxiety, why you're depressed, et cetera, and how to unravel all that. Second thing we look at is diet and nutrition. So we talked about that. Micronutrients like vitamin D, C, zinc. What do you take? What dosage? And then macronutrients, et cetera. And even the behaviors around diet. Some people don't get satisfied from their meals because their palate, there's genes around how much I need in terms of the wow factor. Some people have slow versions of the gut signaling to the brain that it's full. And so they overeat and they just need to know that they need to stop and drink some water and slow down. So everything around diet, nutrition, we've also mapped out. Then we look at sleep. So everything around, I can't fall asleep. I can't stay asleep. I sleep through the night, but when I wake up, I still feel like garbage. Like I didn't get high quality sleep. What's going on? So genetically, those are all different things from
And this is an area where this is the bit that I'm quite suffering at the moment. I've always been a light sleeper. You know that term when people say you're a light sleeper. So things wake me up in the night and I can wake up very easily. Other people can just lie and sleep through, anything. World War III, they'd sleep through it.
So
And now I can sleep, I can get to sleep, no problem. But I wake up pretty much the same time every night. And I can't get back to sleep. And for some reason, the problems got worse over the
that's
past.
a perfect example, and that's something that we fix daily. And I'll tell you what's going on. Perfect example. So, and this is a perfect example of a single gene not having a single meaning or purpose, which is where geneticists got things wrong. And the serotonin gene, so 5-HTT LPR, drives your serotonin response. And if I talk to the scientific community and tell them that this is the gene that's driving your outcome, they'll say no, because it's not a sleep gene, it's a brain gene. But that's not functional thinking. Your brain is what's preventing you from sleeping, and I'll explain it. So serotonin is your mood regulator. Like, how am I responding as appropriate for the stimulus that's coming in? Am I overreacting or underreacting? That's serotonin, right? And this is why these people that have serotonin dysregulation, which I would assume you also do, and we're going to verify that, often they could potentially be more irritable, distractible, excitable, because every little stimulus is given a priority that shouldn't.
I can't concentrate very well.
Yeah, and this is why.
And I literally I like doing lots of different things, but I can't. But something will really take my mind. I'm super interested and I want to immerse myself in it, but I might have a few of those things going on and I get bored easily.
And this is why, because your serotonin dysregulated, your brain has a challenge prioritizing stimulus. What am I supposed to focus on? And it focuses on everything. Now, the superpower is apply this to your work, and you see every little detail and nuance that your partners and colleagues didn't see. And so it gives you this superpower of, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, I can forensically take a look and just catch every T and every I. But it also creates this anxiety because people don't see it. And it's like, I'm frustrated. What about this? What about this? And they just don't see it. So we can talk again just about serotonin for an hour, but this is the thing that now when you fall asleep, so your circadian rhythm, or the same BDNF gene that I said causes Finnish people to be grumpy, which is why they need the sauna, also regulates your clock, your circadian rhythm. And if that's for you, it sounds like it's working good, which is why you're not having a challenge falling asleep. Your circadian rhythm is good. But there's two kind of major halves to sleep. There's the recovery. So you're getting into what's called deep sleep, where your body's dealing with everything you did the day before, detoxification, glymphatic drainage of the brain, lymphatic drainage, all of that. The second half is more preparation for the next day. Let me make my neurochemicals. I'm going to make some hormones. I'm getting ready for what's coming, right? So in that second half, your brain knows that at some point you're supposed to wake up in this half. It knows that in the first half, it's not. And the way that it wakes up is that serotonin gets bound. And then your brain knows it's time, and the signal is sunlight coming through the window. So, because your serotonin is dysregulated, you're responding to every signal. It's too hot. It's too cold. Somebody's foot touched me. Somebody pulled on the blanket. A dog barked three streets away. Like every little stimulus that other people sleep through, your brain keeps saying, is that sunlight? No, go back to sleep. Is that sunlight? No, go back to sleep. And it's this constant overstimulation or over response to stimulus that doesn't deserve attention. And so your solution, none of the sleep solutions will work for you because they're all about putting you to sleep,
Yeah,
right? And
and I've tried so many different variations of this supplement, that supplement, going to bed. I mean, it doesn't help that it's mega hot in my flat at the moment, which is waking me up. And I thought originally, oh, it was hormones, but it's not. I'm not. It's not night sweats. It's not because of the menopause. I've been through that. It's more just it's the temperature, or there's a noise, or my brain's going off, and I'm having a lot of nightmares. Very, very strange.
And just like you said, as you age, this problem gets worse. Why? Your serotonin is made in your gut, about 80% of it, and it's made in your sleep, in that exact same second half that's being disrupted. So you're in this vicious cycle of the time where you need to make the serotonin that's going to help you sleep is where your sleep is being disrupted. And your gut over time, if you're eating Western food, is also being disrupted over time. So the environment where you make the serotonin is breaking down over time, which is standard North American sort of, or I should say Western European and North American life, because our food is horrible. And you're being disrupted for sleep, so you're not making it. So this gets worse over time unless you deal with it. And dealing with it is not a single thing. It is the environment, having the right temperature, having the right weighted blanket to make you feel safe, having maybe a cooling pad underneath you to keep it cool, having zero light leakage, no sound, no stimulus. So that perfect cocoon. It's also taking supplements not to put you to sleep, but to keep you asleep, right? So deep sleep supplements, it's very different products. And it's also about eliminating, like potentially having a separate blanket or even a separate bed, depending how bad the problem is. So all of these considerations that have to be made. And then you're all of a sudden you're solving the right problem and you're sleeping properly. And off the shelf won't work for you because most of that is about falling asleep, which is not your problem.
Wow, I took you off a tangent again. Sorry, sorry.
No problem. So now I'll finish answering the question about,
Yes.
right? So now the fourth section we look at is everything around chronic disease and aging. So, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, dementia. Why would these things happen to you and how do we prevent them? And if you're already experiencing them, how do we reverse them? Because if we know the root cause, it shouldn't have to happen. It was caused, it was choices you made that caused it to manifest. Let's get you back to where you were when you started, where you didn't even have it, right? The number four is we, sorry, five, we look at immunity and inflammation. So everything around the cell's health, the innate cellular health. If we get this right, if we maintain your detox pathways, inflammation pathways, antioxidation pathways, you can't get a chronic disease if you
So
don't have inflammation.
I don't mean to take off tangent again, but we've all recently been through something that's attacked our immune system, and some people have chosen to take a certain thing that I probably won't be able to say because we'll get banned. And they've decided to take that. I didn't because I didn't want to do that. But there are a lot of people suffering from the effects of that. Is that something that you through this testing, you can help them see what's
We can predict two things. If you got the bug, how sick you're going to get. We already know because we already know the genetic pathway that causes you to get the flu from that bug, right? We also know if you got the drug, something different, how sick you're going to get because we know why you get sick. So what's happening with arterial inflammation? We already know how well you deal with that genetically. What's happening with blood flow and hypertension, that's all genetic, and we already know. So we can predict what's going to happen. And the good news is we now know what to do about it. Like, where do we intervene? Just like we said about your hormones, where do we intervene, right? What's the right place? It's same thing with this. Where is your red flag? What's that part of these multiple jobs? What's that one link in the chain that's not working? That's the one we have to focus on. So is it focusing on your detoxification to get rid of that spike protein that's causing the inflammation, right? Or is it more the endothelium itself? Like here's your arteries. We can predict the inner lining, the arteries, inner lining, it's called the endothelium. What quality you have? Is it stainless steel, resilient stuff, or is it more highly prone to inflammation? If that's the case, you need to support that, right? So, yeah.
what's been causing a lot of, particularly guys, I don't know why it's particularly guys that are dropping down of myocarditis.
Well,
Is
I can
that
tell you why, because testosterone inhibits the anti-inflammatory tools you need to. So picture the athlete that drops dead on the field, and we're seeing this, right?
Oh,
What's going
loads, loads.
on? Right?
Footballers, rugby players, cricketers. I mean,
What's going on? You have this profile of someone who is at peak performance, who has the best doctors, best training, best health, and they're dropping dead of cardiac arrest. So what's happening is when you have damage to the to our cardiac tissue, your adrenaline can actually cause cardiac arrest. This is why we see people die in their sleep between 3 to 6 a.m. is normally when they die, because that's the peak production of adrenaline during that time. So now we know there's a correlation between peak adrenaline production and people dying in their sleep of cardiac arrest. Because if you have damaged tissue, the adrenaline dilates all your vasculature and you don't get blood flow. It restricts blood flow, right? So peak adrenaline re restricts blood flow. Now, picture an athlete who's in peak adrenaline. They're playing a sport and they're pushing themselves and they're getting this vasoconstriction at a time when their heart and their arterial system can't handle it because of all the damage from the inflammation of something they took, right? Now, add to that high testosterone levels, which inhibit the anti-inflammatory compounds that would have supported them. This is that trifecta of why this is happening. And again, we can predict all of this genetically and know exactly where to intervene.
How can you get rid of the spike protein? So once you have taken the jab, how
Yeah.
can you get rid of the spike
Well,
protein?
so this was sort of a side project for me. This is not what we do, but because of the research that I do daily, I've learned what are the right things to deal with the clotting and the toxin itself. And I've actually formulated a supplement that I literally made it for my own family. Just for the virus. And now so many people around me are asking, how do I get some, that I'm going to put it up on the website. It was never my intention, but it's going to be a separate website. I'll send you a link just to, it's not what we do, right? But I have formulated it. It exists. I'm now getting it manufactured because so many people are asking.
And this is for people who've taken
It's either the virus or the medication, both, because they both do the same thing, right? They're both, the spike protein is a problem from both of them.
So even though, because I've had COVID, I've had it a couple of times, but I thought that would mean my immune system was quite good then, or
Yeah, so your immune system will help you get over the virus, but the spike protein is still there, still causing inflammation, right? So now you've been notched down a little bit in terms of how resilient your body is, because it's fighting this problem all the time that hasn't left. And we don't yet know how long it takes to leave, because we haven't seen it leave anybody. Like, people are still dealing with long haul, they're still sick, right? So this is literally why I formulated this, just for my family, friends, and now it's like everybody wants it, so I'm going to make a big bet.
wow, super interesting. Yes, definitely. Well, yeah, no, I'd love to find out more and get a hold of some, definitely.
Sure. And now I'll finally finish answering your question about how does the test work. It took 20 minutes to answer that question. So the last area, well, two more areas. We look at hormones, which we've talked a lot about, right? So there's a whole section about hormones. Then we take all of these six things that I talked about, brain, diet, et cetera, sleep, and we reinterpret them for the context of longevity. How do I add 15 years to my life? And for me, bone health, brain health, how do I do all of that? So it's the same data being reinterpreted for a different question. And that's what you get. You get access to all of these sort of portals and information, and every report has recommendations from supplements to behaviors, et cetera. If somebody wants more, we do have clinical support, meaning if somebody, God forbid, mom died of breast cancer, and like, I don't want that, right? That's where we might recommend you work with one of our functional genomics coaches who can dive into the data and build a plan for you, right? And some people go there, and most people don't need that. Most people, it's like, let me be the best version of myself, the optimal version of myself, and that's what the report is for.
Wow. So you get the report, you get the recommendations of, and the recommendations, does it include things like supplements or diets that you should
Yep.
sort of?
It's whatever that problem needs. So we don't provide a big list of recommendations because that's overwhelming. It's like, if you look up anxiety and that is a red flag for you genetically, you're going to see recommendations for that problem specifically. So you can decide what you actually want to work on.
We're going to definitely put a link to this. This sounds amazing. I know I'm going to do it, and I will talk about my results as well. I find this fascinating, and if you can become the best version of myself, I intend to live to 100, but I want the best quality life to get there.
For
And
sure.
that's if we can do that, and if we have the tools or the knowledge around us, I think that's the most.
For sure. You need the tools. You need to, it's challenging in today's world to stay healthy. We are living longer, but we're living with disease. It's because of our exposure. It's not because of who we are. We're not wired for today. So just understand what gap you need to fill, what you need to prioritize, and that getting to that 100 becomes easy because people have lived to 120, right? They just did everything right.
So 120 sounds like a good number. What are we actually genetically programmed to live to a certain
The
number?
way I see it, so here's your DNA, and on your DNA, there's a cap called a telomere. And a telomere is literally this bumper that absorbs damage and protects your DNA and cells. They look like they're designed to last 120 years. So it looks like we were designed to live 120 years if we do everything right. We're not doing everything right. So we have this gift of 120 years of life, and the choices we make daily are taking years away. So if you die at 60, it's because you did everything wrong. So let's figure out what are those right choices. They're not the same for all of us. Your genes will prescribe what those right choices are, and then 120 may be something you can achieve.
So basically, we no longer need to be slaves or victims to our genetics.
Exactly. Your
We can
genetics instead should be
take
a
control of
tool.
this.
Yeah, there should be a tool telling you what to do so that you can live to 120.
Krish, I've also just started reading your book,
Oh.
which is fantastic. Tell me a little bit more about it.
So I didn't intend to write a book until I saw what was happening in my own family. And I realized, just like I was saying earlier, I need to make this easy. People need to know because they don't know. You go to a doctor, you're not told this is a tool you can use. So I thought, if I can tell it from my lens of a consumer telling my story of literally how I healed myself, and people understand how easy this is, and whether you've had a genetic test or not, at least you'll start thinking of your body differently. You'll understand how it really works. A chronic disease is truly a choice. It's optional. The pace at which you age is truly a choice. That's optional. The energy, the libido, the hair and skin that you have today is all optional, right? So I wanted to tell that story. So interesting thing is I wanted to do it. A publisher was one of our patients and said, I love what you guys are doing. You need to tell the story. And we made a book deal and 2 years of sleeping at 2 in the morning because I also had my day job. I shouldn't say 2 years, about a year. But it started 2 years ago and now the book came out. So it's called The DNA Way. And it will all of what we talked about today, it will teach you how to think this way. And you're gonna, and it's not boring science, you're gonna enjoy it.
And I honestly say I've been listening to it. So I'm an audible person. I'm not very good at reading, or I shouldn't say not very good, but I prefer to listen to things. That's how I get things in. And it's great because you really condense things down and you give people tips and advice at the end of each chapter, which I'm loving as well. So I'm finding it a very practical guidebook as well. But I think I really want to take the test as well. And I think it will link nicely hand in hand with the test as well.
Yeah, you can use that book as like a personal PhD telling you what to do with your results, right?
So, what does the future hold? You've done the book.
Yeah.
The company's going well. Is there any little project that?
Yeah, I think the next step for me is what we've done is we've taken this tool of genetics that already existed, and we're just making it easy for people to access and interpreting it better. Everything we talked about today was all interpretation. The genes don't say this. Genes is data. It's dumb data. You need to know what question to ask. So the way that we've interpreted the genome functionally, the same serotonin gene that alters your mood also alters your sleep. That's an insight that we created from studying people, from learning. I want to bring that same functional thinking to other tests, to blood work, to gut microbiome, to cancer screening, and not the medical version of interpretation, which is all disease-centric and symptom-centric. I want to take the way we think and apply it to all these other tests so that people can get more value out of that. And I'm starting to do that now.
What we haven't touched on, and I guess this is a whole nother conversation, is I'm a great believer in your mind helping you with cell generation as regeneration as well. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I don't just mean positive thinking, but I mean deep meditation. Some people believe in certain psychedelics that can rewire your brain, cause different neural pathways. But there are people that have said that they can cure themselves of cancer. Have you got any sort of thoughts around that?
Well, the truth is that your body replenishes itself. So you're a different version of yourself. Every day there's 3 to 4 million cells dying and being replaced. And so why not, right? If we understand how what we are, if you get into the quantum physics of it, we aren't what we see ourselves as. We're frequency adding up to this physical structure. And if you truly understand how we are navigating this universe, it becomes easy to understand that all what you said is possible. So
how did you see that?
So what I learned is that our DNA is not just an instruction manual, which is all what we've been talking about today. It is also a communication tool. So if you picture the DNA, here's this, you know, you see this spiral, right? Everyone knows what it looks like.
Yeah.
The middle rungs that meet the sidebars, those locations, those rungs that meet the sidebars are actually signaling centers that put your thoughts out. So we know, and you talked about Greg Braden, he talked about this a lot, where your thoughts are frequency and the fabric of this universe is all frequency. And you're putting it out there. And this is not woo-woo science. This is quantum physics. This is known, right? This is what scientists and labs are studying right now. It's just not been brought to the public yet. So if that's the case, your thoughts drive outcomes because your DNA has these signaling sites that literally send the vibration out into the universe to create whatever it is you're trying to create. Your mitochondria receives, right? Your mitochondria is a receptor site that receives signals. This is why when somebody's walking up behind you, you know that they're there. You didn't hear them, you didn't see them, you didn't see nothing, but you can sense it, right? Because your mitochondria is this safety signaling tool that's trying to receive signals. So why am I saying all this? Because if you're not healthy, if you're suffering from oxidative stress, inflammation, your brain is not right because you're neural inflammation, then the DNA is damaged and the mitochondria is damaged and they can't do these jobs. And this is why you talk about, you know, you hear people talk about elevated consciousness. That's truly how you experience the world. Because if you're super healthy and your DNA is not damaged and oxidized and the mitochondria is flourishing and not damaged, then this job of signaling in and out just happens. And you get this sense of like, everything I want falls in my lap. I'm intuitive. I know what people are feeling and thinking because that's what we're wired to do, but we lost it because we lost our health. So in the word that describes what you feel is consciousness, right? So all of this allows you to use your thought as a tool. And we know for sure that, so Harvard did a study on a longitudinal study on what causes people to live longer. And this is the longest running medical study in the world, I think. And it came down to relationships. They said that's the key to longevity. And what does that mean? It's what you're thinking and feeling is driving your body's outcome. Relationship is a pill you take. The outcome is how you feel and think. That's the number one thing Harvard, and they don't know why, they're trying to figure it out, but that's the why, because it's changing your thoughts and it's changing your emotions. That equals your net outcome.
So really, if you're always coming from a place of joy and feeling love, I mean, the wider context of love, then that's when you're operating at a higher frequency as well.
Yes. Yeah. You're healthy. You're not under, your cortisol response is not spiking. You're probably eating better. You're probably moving and you're active, you know, so all of these things are being done right. And all of a sudden the body is ready to be healthy. The terrain is in that state where you can experience good health and longevity.
Wow. I mean, I'm a great believer in this. I just think sometimes it's in our daily lives, in our stressful lives, we're very much caught in this. Society tells us to do X. It tells us to do Y. You know, the government is telling us to do X, to do Y with our health, with how we should be living. And I think we've forgotten that we can actually survive ourselves and literally have this elevated feeling as well. And I think sometimes it's when you step away from all of that and realize that you are the CEO of your own health, and you can, your body, your wealth, your mind as well. It's important to let into your mind things that are not going to cause stress. I mean, I've stopped watching the news. I don't read a newspaper anymore. I listen to great things. I listen to uplifting podcasts or things that are going to give me more information, but not at a negative level. What would you like to be remembered for?
Wow. Wow. So now you're forcing me to think of something I haven't thought about. Well, I believe that our allopathic Western healthcare model is broken. I believe that it is that people can be much happier and healthier than they are if we stop reacting and instead prevent. So what I'd like to be remembered for is my commitment to changing that system. It's a very difficult system to change. It's so ingrained in regulatory and institutions and It's very, there's a moat built around it that prevents innovators from coming in. So I'm going to intertwine myself in the system and change it. And I want to be remembered for the guy that kind of broke open the ability for people to access their body and become their health CEO, that thing that you said. And that's information, knowledge, tools, right? Putting it all together so that people can do it. Because if you don't do it, you're almost guaranteed to be a victim of the healthcare system.
I love that. I absolutely love your mission. Krishna, where can people find out more about you?
So if you go to thednaway.com, you'll learn about the book and you'll learn a little bit about me. If you go to thednacompany.com, you'll find the test. It's called the 360. And we, you know, in fact, for your audience, I want to honor and respect everybody's time for listening and learning. We'll create a promo code, a discount code for everybody. Right?
Wonderful. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know my audience would appreciate that. I know I appreciate that. Thank you. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll put that down. We'll put that down on the
Yeah, show. We'll provide everyone that. So we'll create that after the fact. And if you just want to learn more, go to my Instagram, KashKhan, KashKhan official. And I have a daily rant about something that I need to complain about on there when it comes to our food, environment, et cetera. You'll learn a lot. I can promise you that. And that's it. And then you'll, you know, between those, you'll be able to learn. The book really is a tool designed to rethink how your body actually works and what's possible. So take a look at that at thednaway.com.
And final question, if there was one key thing that the audience should take away from our conversation today, what would that one thing be?
So that I have thought about, unlike the other question, and it's very simple. The pace at which you age, the chronic diseases you may or may not get, and your energy today are all optional. And that, let go of the belief that disease happens, that diabetes is in my family, that breast cancer is in my family. Let go of that belief. Instead, believe that the choices that I make every day are either a step towards health and prevention or a step away from it. Every single thing you do, everyone you talk to, everything you eat, everything you breathe, it's a constant battle between good health and bad health. And that's how fragile we are, which we just learned a couple of years ago. One little bug, look what it did, right? So let's step towards the good health side of the line. And it is completely optional. If you understand how your body actually works, you'll understand why chronic disease happens and you'll know why you don't have to have it.
Fantastic, Krish. What a beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
It was a pleasure. I enjoyed it.